If you want to find some scriptures, I'm going to read a couple of them, beginning with Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to find that in 1 Peter chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Ephesus, telling them as believers to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the cunning, deceitfulness, trickiness of the evil one, god of this world, Satan. Verse 12, for, and he explains this in verse 12, for we do not wrestle as Christians, as believers. How many Christians and believers we have here this morning? You're in a battle. The spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And there's a battle going on. Some of us don't realize that until we get a little bit older in the Lord. But after, if you've been a Christian any time or any period of time, it won't be long before you discover that something's going on in you as a Christian that never went on in you before you were a Christian. And it's a battle. And it has to do, it's in your mind. And it's from the spiritual realm where your battle, your struggle, why you need to be strong is because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not a fleshly battle, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And he explains again where that is, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is, in the heavenly places is in the spiritual realm. So our battle is not against our flesh. A lot of Christians think that they're having to fight a battle in the flesh. If you're going to fight a battle in the flesh, you're going to always be defeated. You can't defeat spiritual principles and powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world system in the flesh. You can't do it. That's why he says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. This is something you have to do as Christians. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to take on the whole armor of God, as the New Amplified Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God, the King James Version says. Why do we have to put on the whole armor of God? That's something you have to do. Everybody look at yourself, point to yourself and say, I have to do that. And you do. We all do. Every Christian does. And the point here is you do this so that the last part of verse 13, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. In other words, whenever every day in this world system, we run into trials and problems and pressures and temptations and all kinds of different problems. The enemy comes to try to fill us with doubt and fear and worry, jobs, bills, husbands, wives, children, body, physical ailments, all kinds of things. He uses all of these things to rob us of our joy and to fill us with sadness and pain and sickness and so all of these things. So that's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. There he says, beloved. Well, he's talking to all of those of us that are Christians. We are beloved of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're beloved of the Lord? Amen. So he says to Peter and to the church there, do not think it strange. Don't consider it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I don't think anybody needs to say amen about that. If you understand what the word amen means, it means so be it. He's saying as believers, you're going to have some strange things happening to you. They're going to be like a fiery trial. That's why he tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God. Because we're going to have a fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I had some people that got saved in our church and attended here for a while, and one of them was, a lady came and was crying. She said, "Brother Lewis," and I said, "What is the matter? How can I help you?" I started talking to her after church, so she came to the altar and she was crying. She said, "I didn't have all these problems until I become a Christian. I'm having all kinds of problems." I said, "Praise the Lord." She said, "What? Praise the Lord?" I said, "That means you're a Christian." So if you're having that, you can praise the Lord, because if you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't be having those problems, issues, right? Of course, everybody has problems, but I'm talking about spiritual problems. All right? Think it not strange, as though some strange thing. And so here he says in verse 13, so this seems strange, and now think about this. You're having some fiery trials. You're having some strange things happening to you. In verse 13, he says, but rejoice. But rejoice. To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In other words, one of these days there's going to come a time whenever we stand before Christ and we're going to be filled with exceeding joy because we stood up under the trials and the pressures of being a Christian and the spiritual warfare that we went through. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, in other words, if somebody tries to put you down because you're a Christian or talk about you because you're a Christian and slander you, well then praise God. He says, You're blessed. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, on those who don't know the Lord, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. Amen? Praise God. Then the next verse, see, I'm saying I have two key verses here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then the next verse that I have is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. You don't need to turn there. It's in the Old Testament little book, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And the last part of that verse says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So how are we to be strong in the Lord? We're to be filled with his joy. Because when we're filled with his joy, we are strengthened by might in our spirit. Are you with me? The joy of the Lord is our strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this. And he said to me, my grace, Paul was having a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn is. Don't really care to know. I think I have maybe two or three in my flesh. Sometimes I wonder. I think maybe we all as Christians do. Paul didn't want this thorn in his flesh. It was really bothering him. And the enemy was trying to use it to affect his spiritual life, his spiritual warfare, and his relationship with the Lord, and also his relationship with the churches and his work in the ministry. You with me? And he said, Lord, he prayed three times, he says, that God would remove this thorn, and God didn't remove it. And the reason God didn't remove it was because God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, My love is taking care of you. I know you have a thorn in the flesh. I know you have. Isn't it wonderful God loves us and he knows all the problems and issues we have going on in our lives? The reason he said he's left the thorn in Paul is, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength, God says, his strength is not made perfect in our strength. His strength is not made perfect. We can't strengthen ourselves to do spiritual warfare. The Lord has to be our strength. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So what does Paul say? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities and the problems that I'm having, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He understood that in order to be strong in the Lord, he was going to have to be weak. Are you listening? He's going to have to be weak, and he's going to know that he's weak, and he's going to understand that he's weak, and he's going to know that there's some things that he cannot do because he can't do. The Bible says we can't do anything without the Lord. And the Lord is telling us, my strength is not going to be perfected in your strength. My strength is going to be perfected in your weakness. And so sometimes why we have such problems is we're trying to be strong in ourselves. And we're fighting a mental battle. And we don't understand that the enemy's trying to show us how weak we are. And we think that's a bad thing. But God says, that's a good thing if we'll turn it around and let the Spirit of God use it in our lives. We can understand that God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So that means we learn how to trust in God and depend on God in our day-to-day lives because we realize that we cannot do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Isn't that what the Bible says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But without Christ, I can't do anything. Amen? So let's go on with this verse. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, and persecutions, in distresses. In other words, Paul is saying, I don't moan and groan because I'm going through these things, because the Spirit of God, through His Word and the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, has shown me that in these distresses and in these reproaches and in these needs, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I have to cast myself to Him. I have to come to Him. Wow. There's some times when I have to prepare messages. I remember the first time I was called to preach and I had to prepare a sermon. I like to pass out. And through all of that, the Lord told me, you don't have to. And then later on, there were some times when, I would try to get prepared and He wouldn't give me anything. And I would say, well, Lord, what's going on? He'd say, well, when you get to the pulpit, open your Bible, I'll give you a sermon. His strength. And then people would go and say, wow, that was a good sermon. We really enjoyed that. And I said, well, praise God. They didn't. They just thought I was saying that. That was him. That's not me. I mean, that's him that's here this morning. Because I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do anything. Without him, I'd probably already have been dead a long time ago. Literally. For when I'm weak and I'm strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. For though he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, I want you to think about this now. Jesus is our example. Can somebody say amen? He was crucified in weakness. yet he lives by the power of God. God resurrected him from the dead. Amen? And he was crucified, and he gave up everything. He came from glory as the Son of God, equal with God. He left that place. He didn't have to come down here. He came down here willingly, for God so loved the world. Jesus so loved the world. He came and was born in a... He took on a physical, fleshly body and was tempted. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, because it behooved the Father that the Lord of glory, our Savior, would not understand just because he's God and knows everything. He would come and experience everything in his body for 33 and a half years, just like human beings did, so he could feel it and know. He knows, the Bible says, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because he's been, not because he's a know-it-all, but because he's been here and went through all of those things just for us, and then died for our sins on the cross, and was resurrected so that we could be resurrected with him and we could have the joy of the salvation of God in our lives. Amen? I'm talking about basic things, principles here for the Christian life that we need to understand so we can get on in our lives and know how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He was crucified in weakness. Jesus said, if any man's going to come after me, what does he say? Let him take up his cross and follow me, that where I am, he may be also. So he's not trying to make you into somebody other than one of his children. And you can't make yourself into one of his children. Only he can do that. And he only does that in our weakness. And that's when we call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the only reason I called upon the name of the Lord was because I was weak. I couldn't help myself. I knew I was doing wrong. I was sinning, and I couldn't change my life. I tried to quit smoking and quit drinking and doing all, you know, all the man-made religious stuff to try to make myself acceptable to God. And he said, you can't do it. You're worse than you know. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And the only way you can get out of that old man and is dead in trespass and sin is to be born again by the Spirit of God. I said, how do I do that? He said, come in weakness, fall on your knees before me and say, God, I'm depending on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I cannot save myself. Now listen, he did that by faith. When we walked out in faith, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, now you live a Christian life. Yeah, I do, but it's not by my power. It's not my strength. It's by his strength I now live a Christian life because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's one of the most important things we're going to find out here in a minute. So I'm going to get into some other scriptures that have to do with joy. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell. And he's talking about people who are listed. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible. It lists a whole lot of people, all that have gone before us and all of the things that they went through, and how they stood by faith. And so he talks about those who stood by faith and who went through all the trials and tribulations and problems. You can read out a whole bunch of them in the Old Testament and the New Testament. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets and all of these, verse 33, who through faith, what did they do? Through their faith. Not by their works, but through their faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Take the shield of faith, it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Take the sword of the Spirit. So we have faith. Through faith, subdued kingdoms. We got to put down the kingdom of God. Worked righteousness. We have to work righteousness. We do that through the power of God. Amen. Obtained promises. All these people did all of this. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quench, verse 34, verse Hebrews 11. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Amen. They became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Amen. Hebrews 4:7, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. So in this battle, a spiritual battle of warfare that we're going through here, it's we have to resist the devil. We have to submit ourselves unto God. And when we resist the devil, after we submit ourselves unto God, we're understanding that when we resist the devil, we're not resisting him in our name and in our strength, but in our weakness, we're resisting him so that the strength of Christ can be manifested through us. You ever fought some fights, spiritual battles, and won in the name of Jesus? Amen. Have you laid hands on people and prayed for people and helped people and encouraged people who were down and out, and because they were going through a spiritual battle and didn't understand what was happening, and you went and prayed for them and laid hands on them, and God filled them with His Spirit, and boy, they jumped up and started doing a spiritual battle and started rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? They got over that depression and that frustration and that discouragement and all of that stuff that the enemy is trying to pull them down with. Are you with me? We're talking about practical living here, everyday living for all of us. Now, we're going to go to, so how do we are strong in the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to give you some reasons to, in the next 15 or 20 minutes, about the joy of the Lord. Because I want you to get this. God wants you to get this. Because this is where you're going to be strong, right here. This is where you're strengthened. You're strengthened, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. John 15, verse 9, Jesus saying to the disciples, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And the Word of God's now speaking to this. Let me tell you right now, if you don't know you're loved by God, let me tell you right now, you are loved by God. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. He loves you anyway. Amen? It'd be good if you believed it. So have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And besides that, that's not something hard, because we keep his commandments because we walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit is, we're strengthened in our spirit, we're new creations in our spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, then we keep his commandments, because basically his commandments is only two. His Ten Commandments are not just Ten Commandments. If you get caught up in that trap, that's part of the spiritual warfare, because the enemy will try to have you be doing these Ten Commandments, and you're going to be failing constantly because you can't keep them. The law is given, the Bible says, not to make us holy and acceptable with God. The law is given to convince us and let us know that we've sinned and broken the law, so that we can come to Christ that'll save us. Once the law's done that, it's accomplished its purpose. Are you with me? Praise God. Amen? So don't get caught up in that trap. Where was I? I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. There's only two commandments. That's what I was going to say. I forgot. The Lord brought it back to me. Love the Lord with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, all the commandments are going to be fulfilled in you. And I could share some stories right here at this time. I don't have time to go into them, but what if you don't love somebody? I've had some people, a person I can think of right now that I hated with a purple passion for what he did to me. And I was a pastor of this church 20 years ago, this happened, or whatever, whenever it was. If I'd have gotten my hands on him, I would have killed him. And I went through that for 3 days. And I was laying in bed thinking about if I can get to him. The only reason I couldn't get to him was I was down here and he was in Oklahoma, Tulsa. And I was saying, Lord, how I was laying there at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning in my bed thinking about if I can just get to his house. If he's not there, I'll kill his dog, his cat, burn his car, his house, and anything else that's around there. I'm going to get even with him. Are you with me? And the Lord told me, and I'd have been through that for 3 days, and I was laying in bed, and I'm telling you this for a reason. Listen. The Lord told me in my spirit, he said, get out of bed, get on your knees, and forgive that man. We're supposed to be honest with the Lord, aren't we? So I got out of bed, I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to do this because you told me to. But I want to tell you right now, it's not coming from my heart. I don't mean it. Because if something doesn't happen, when I get up from here, I'm still going to feel the same way. I'll kill him when I see him. He said, you just do what I tell you to do. So I said, okay. Lord, I forgive so-and-so and so. And no more sooner than I had got his name out of my mouth, I was filled with the spirit of love of God. His strength became perfect in my weakness. And I cried and prayed for that man that God would save him. You listening to me? That wasn't Lewis Cowan, that was God. His strength was made perfect in my weakness. And I felt like I didn't have that, but I felt like I needed to give you that example. Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, see, Jesus wants his joy to remain in us and that our joy might be full. Amen? He wants his children to be full of joy. Amen? He says so. And not just one place, but many places. I've told you these things. I want you to do this. We're talking about how to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants us to come and say, Lord, you want me to be full of your joy. Right now, I have hate and anger and bitterness. It's probably wrong. I feel like, but... just take over. And he'll take that all away and fill you with his love and his joy, amen, and his peace and his strength. Are you with me? That's how to be strong in the Lord. That's what he says. I want my joy, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, John 15, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Psalms chapter 5, verse 11, Old Testament. Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. But let all of those that put their trust in thee, that put their trust in the Lord, rejoice. Even in the Old Testament, that was the source of their rejoicing, is that they could trust in the Lord and depend on him. Put their trust in you. Let all of those that put their trust in you rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy. Amen. Have you ever shouted for joy? Have you ever? Sometimes you don't want to be around my house. Sometimes I can just sometimes shout for joy. I just say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because he defends them. Because let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in you. Amen. Now that's, I could talk about joy here, but I don't have time. I'm running. That word right there means in the Greek, and I have all these Greek words and Hebrew words in the Bible where joy appears here in the definitions of them, and they mean cheerfulness, they mean calm delight, they mean gladness. This word here in the Greek means to creak or to emit a sound, to shout, to aloud for joy, cry out, be joyful, rejoice, shout for joy, sing aloud. You ever sing aloud to the Lord and thank Him? Amen? Praise God. Isn't that, that's what He wants us to do. Go to, well, you don't have to go there. Let's go to Psalms 27, verse 5. Listen to this. Psalms 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble. Anybody having any problems here today? You having a troublesome time sometimes? He shall hide me in His pavilion. He'll hide me from that. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And He says, that's a sacrifice. To offer praise in the time when we don't feel like offering praise means that that is a sacrifice. We don't feel like doing it. We don't want to do it, but we do it anyway because we know God is good and He's deserving of our worship and our praise. Therefore, in Hebrews it said, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He doesn't just say, we can sing it and praise it inside, but He wants it to be spoken. We need to speak it. When He said to the disciples, we have to speak His word. This is, it's gooder and gooder. Better and better. You know what He says? He doesn't say, pray and this mountain will be removed. He said, speak to this mountain. Speak. Speak to this mountain. Speak to this mountain. Speak to it. If you shall speak to this mountain and tell it to be removed and cast into the sea, it'll be done. Now, we do need to pray. There's no question about that, but we also need to speak the word. You ever talk to the devil? Oh, boy. I could tell you a story about that. I've already told you that story several times. I won't go into all that right now, but first time I ever did that, the Lord told me to talk to my daughter Rachel's here. She was in her teen age. Told me I was concerned about her. The first time He ever showed me that was been years ago. Go in your bedroom, get on your knees. I want you to talk to the devil. I said, what? You're not praying. You're going to talk to the devil. I ain't got on the bed. I'd never done that before in my life up until that time. And I said, well, what do you want me to say? He said, Satan, I command you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to get your hands off my daughter. You cannot have her. She doesn't belong to you. She's yours. She belongs to the Lord, and you get your hands off her right now. Wow. It was less than a week. She changed, completely changed. Went to her bedroom, got her Bible, and started reading it. I didn't think she's ever going to come out. Praise God. That's what God does. Somebody prayed that prayer for me. Thank God. I think my mother did. And that's a sacrifice. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, "Go your way." Sometimes we get caught up in this battle. And this is where they were. They're caught up in a battle. And they're thinking, we need to fast. We need to pray. We need to go do all of these things. We need to try to get right with God. Now listen to me, please. Now that's a good thing. And sometimes we need to do that. But sometimes the Lord says, stop. Stop. You don't need to do that. You've already repented. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right here he tells you. Go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There comes a time when you quit repenting. I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin years ago. He said, the Lord told me I kept praying about I had committed a sin, I'd done something bad in my life, and the devil wouldn't let me forget it. And he said, and I was talking to the Lord about it over and over and over again as I was praying. And he said, I was praying one day about that thing, and God said, stop! Tired of hearing about that. I forgave you that a long time ago. Don't mention it to me anymore. And he said, it shocked him. But he didn't do it anymore. He didn't need to. God had already forgiven him. There comes a time whenever you repent, then God says, go on. Eat. Be joyful. Be happy. Enjoy your life. Send some portions to people that are in it. Help people out. This day is holy to the Lord. Neither don't quit being sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. Is God your salvation? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? He's your Savior? Okay. Then he says, I will trust and not be afraid. I won't allow the enemy to fill me with doubt and fear and worry and frustration. I will trust the Lord and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And he's my song. Instead of being sorry, I'm going to start singing praises to him. This is how to be strong in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Isaiah 12:2. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have time to give you all of this. Just go look up the word joy in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. And look at this. The fig tree's not blooming. There's not any fruit on the vines. We're talking about a farmer and a rancher now. Back in those days, that's what they did. They farmed and ranched, or whatever they did, farmed and planted crops and had fig trees and orange trees and apple trees. So that's where they have that. So the fig tree, although the fig tree shall not bloom, Habakkuk 3:17, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off and from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, I don't have anything in this world that I'm depending on to rejoice about. I've lost it all. Everything is falling apart in my life. You ever feel that way? Well, I have. Everything just falling apart. Lord, where are you? And what does he say to do here? Yet, verse 18, Habakkuk 3, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, I'm going to quit looking at all of the things in this life. Let me tell you something here. The biggest problem we have and what fills us with doubt and fears and worries is things that are going on in our job, things that are going on in our family, things that are going on with our finances, things that are going on here, things that are going on there, things that are going on in us, things the way we feel. That's all of those. And we're focusing on all of those things, and they're overwhelming us, and the enemy knows that, and he's trying to use those things to fill us with lack of doubt and fill us with doubt and lack of faith and rob us of our joy and rob us of our peace and fill us with worry and all of these things. We're looking at the wrong things. We don't look at those things to find joy and happiness. We look to the Lord. He's our joy and He's our happiness. So what happens if you're going through that kind of a deal? What do? Quit looking at all of the things that you think is going to make you happy and start looking to the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Man. John 16:23. Jesus says to the disciples, and His word is saying to us, and the Holy Spirit is verifying that it is the truth to us. John chapter 16, verse 23. In that day, what day is that? What is today? Amen? In this day, what day is tomorrow? Whatever day it is. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. God wants to answer our prayers. Have you ever asked God for something and He gave it to you? Did you thank Him and praise Him for it? Did you rejoice over that? Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Romans 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope and power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you become followers of us that of the Lord and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They received the word in much affliction, but they also received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 1:4, Paul says, I'm greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. What were those tears about? He realized that Timothy, he was leaving Timothy. Timothy was crying, weeping, having tears, because he knew he may not ever see him again. And Paul says, I was mindful of your tears. It showed me your love, and I rejoiced. The joy of the Lord. And last but not least, talking about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. He's the author and the finish of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before Him. How did He endure the cross? How did He despise the shame that He went through? How did He sit down at the right hand of the throne of God? Because He, for the joy of what that was set before Him, He was focusing on what He was accomplishing and what was going to be after He did what God told Him to do. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured. And that's the only way you and we are going to endure, is for the joy that was set before us. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of Him. That means I'm to be strong, and we as Christians are to be strong in the Lord and in His joy And how did we do that? We put on the whole armor of God. What is that? The helmet of salvation. So we set our mind on what it means to be saved. We set our mind on the Scripture, taking the sword of the Spirit. We set our mind on the Scripture, taking the shield of faith, whereby we'll quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Are you with me? We put our word on our righteousness. It's not our righteousness. We put on the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? That's what we put on. We're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? And then that way, no matter what comes, do we feel the trials? Yes. Do we feel the pressures? Yes. Do we get frustrated and get worried and all of the? Yes. Do we get down? Yes. But the Lord doesn't want us there. We can get up as easy as we got out. That's what He's telling us. The joy of the Lord is cast all of your fears, cast all of your troubles onto the Lord, because He cares for you. You think He doesn't care for you? Wow. Just be patient. I'm like that little picture I saw of a little freckle-faced boy. He was about 10 years old, little freckle-faced boy, and he was leaning on his desk, and he had his face in his hands like this, and he was saying, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." That's the way we are sometimes, amen? And sometimes He says, hang in there. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Offer the sacrifices of praise. Lord, I don't feel like praising You. Lord, the enemy's trying to worry me, and I feel frustrated, and all of this stuff is going on in my life, Lord. I don't feel like praising You all, but I am going to praise You because Your word tells me to offer the sacrifice of praise. So I just praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Lord, that You're going to take care of this. Amen? And the joy of the Lord will strengthen you, as the Bible says so. Let's stand. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for being here this morning. Let us all go forth from this place and apply these teachings and these words to our lives. And as we're dismissed this morning and Mary's going to play something, I want to give you an opportunity. I always do this because I feel like sometimes there might be somebody that God's spoken to, and He wants you to come to this altar and just kneel down here and cast all of your cares. What, you have something that's bothering you? You have something that you need to, or somebody that's in your life that things are bothering them, or you need to call on the name of the Lord? Just come down here, kneel at this altar. We'll agree with you right now. The Bible says, let's agree. Where two or more agree on earth is touching any one thing they'd ask, it'll be done. I'll just agree with you. And we've got a lot of people here that'll agree with us. So if you need to come on down to the altar. We're going to have prayer and we're going to go home. Amen? Anybody, anywhere, you want to cast some cares or pray for somebody that has cares, a friend, a loved one, you want us to join together with you? Well, come on, we'll just join together with you. We'll pray. Amen. Folks are coming. Anybody else? Come on. God's saying, get in on this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we're coming into Your presence right now. All of us that are Your children and those here at the altar are Your children. They're coming in obedience, Lord, to Your word. They're acting here in obedience to Your word. They're acting on Your word. That's the very fact that they're here is a fact, Lord, that they have faith. That means they're casting their cares on You. They're depending on You. Or maybe it may not just be for them. It might be for a friend or family or loved one or someone, Lord, that they're for whom they want to cast their cares on You, Lord. And so we just thank them for that, and we pray with them. And Lord, we're going to claim Your promise of Your word that where any two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing that they would ask, Lord, And if we ask anything according to your will, and we know, Lord, it's not your will that anybody be lost. We know it's not your will, Lord, that people be filled with worry and doubt and frustration and lack of hope. And so we just agree with these right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever they're praying for, if it's for them or family members or loved ones, we agree with them right now. Everybody agree? Amen. In Jesus' name, we're going to agree together, Father, that that burden is lifted. Their prayers are answered and will be answered. And we're looking for them to expect an answer and to look for it to happen soon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Praise God.